You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. As always, I'm a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com. And on today's episode, we're going to do a Darren Collison season preview. On this show, we don't have any guests. I'm doing my first solo show of the 2018-19 NBA season. I'm pretty excited to do it. I haven't done one in a while. And I like doing these solo shows. It lets me kind of rant and go off on tangents and things like that that I personally can't do with a guest. I do with Tony sometimes, but he always tries to reel me back in. So love your feedback on this podcast. If you like the solo podcast or not, you can tweet at me at FreedmanAdam5 or at a podcast at Locked On Pacers. A little preview of today's show. What's going to happen is kind of the format it's going to be is after a quick break, we're going to have a two-minute kind of highlight preview of Darren Collison's season, taking some sounds from the local broadcast or other broadcasts that he was in, for some of the other teams, on highlight plays, kind of things that kind of show how well he played this season because he really had an incredible year. And then I'm going to go into basically five kind of things, talking about weaknesses, strengths, roles, how he fits with other players, and kind of the best and worst case scenario of his season. So let's take a quick pause, and we get back to the Darren Collison season preview.
Collison sizing up LeVert. High screen Turner. Collison the blow by. High off the window. Collison extends the Indiana lead.
This is Collison. We had a quiet game until his two overtime triples. Oh my, Darren Collison to the rescue for Indiana.
And you know what's funny? Talking with Al, Al said Quinn 3 days ago.
Oh, he made it! They're calling him.
How about Collison's been playing better? And then just was still hitting long enough to get to the rim.
Collison leaves it off to Booker, who rams it with a left hand.
Sure did.
1 minute to play.
Ooh, got him again.
Here's Collison for another three.
Ooh, yes! Love it!
So as many of you might remember, Darren Collison had probably the best season of his NBA career last year. Now, in terms of points per game, assists per game, he wasn't at the top levels. But in terms of overall production and efficiency, he was probably the best version of Darren Collison in his NBA career. He played 69 games, had one little stretch where he missed 11 games due to a knee injury. Pacers survived that and went 7-4. Wasn't a huge setback for the team. But he averaged 12.4 points, 5.3 assists, and an incredible 1.2 turnovers per game, led the NBA in the turnover ratio with a 4.28, shot an incredible 46.8% from three-point. That is far and away the best in the NBA last season. He also shot a pretty efficient 49.5% from the field. So basically, he almost reached a 50-40-90 club. He was just about half a percent off in the field goal percentage, and then about 1.8% off in the free throw percentage. His offensive rating, obviously, you know, the B-ball reference and NBA stats kind of weirdly have different offensive ratings, but it was about 112 if you really calculate it by hand. That would be probably one of the tops among point guards. It was better than Victor Oladipo's. Obviously, his defensive rating was not as good as that, but he would probably, in terms of net rating, second or third most efficient Pacer, obviously behind Oladipo, who was, obviously the best Pacer player last year. Outside of Victor Oladipo, he was probably the most important offensive player to the Pacers last season. He fit kind of the perfect role of a starting point guard, but not a ball-dominant one. He deferred at times Oladipo when he needed to. He was okay being in the corner, but he took control when the Pacers were kind of needing a steadying hand, a more reliable kind of not consistent force. He was perfectly okay coming off the bench, you know, sitting in the late in the at the end of games for Corey Joseph. He was kind of a happy soldier. I thought this was probably Collison in terms of attitude, in terms of all the things that he could do, his best season, just because he fit a role and didn't try to do too much, which for a guy who is barely 6 feet tall, I mean, he's listed at 6 feet, but who knows, and a player who, you know, has had kind of a career where he was ups and downs with the Pacers early on in his career, then went to Sacramento and kind of steadied out. He really fit the role perfectly, and he wasn't, you know, complaining about his role, and he was really becoming a leader of the locker room. And the one thing I noticed about Collison is really over the last three seasons, he's basically almost kind of leveled out as a player in terms of percentage, at least. He's shot 40% or above from three for three straight seasons. So it's kind of becoming a consistent thing. I mean, I don't think the 46.8% is going to happen again. That's such an outlier number. I mean, that's an incredible 3-point percentage, but who knows? It could happen again, but I would doubt it does. But in terms of 40%, I think that's pretty reasonable to expect him to be a 40% 3-point shooter next season on about three attempts, which is very solid, if not kind of making one of the best in terms of 3-point percentage offensive players in the league. And then in terms of minute and stuff like that, he played 29 last season. He's played 33 straight years. I expect those to stay in that range, barring, you know, let's say some kind of shift where Tyreek becomes the point guard or Aaron Holiday pops. But I think Collison's role is, again, about a 28 to 30-minute guy. Probably isn't closing games kind of like it was last year. You know, maybe in certain circumstances where they really need the offense or they need the consistency or the steady hand. But most of the time, I feel like the lineup will probably close with Corey Joseph just because defensively he's better. But Collison, in terms of fitting his role, is in the perfect team, on the perfect place, because he really is kind of the perfect player for this team. He can fit well with basically anybody on the bench now that they kind of got rid of Lance, because he can seamlessly fit with Evans because he plays very similar to Oladipo. I think Collison is in the right place, and he is coming into a contract year again, obviously with his second-year option being picked up at $10 million. So you could see sort of that as a motivating factor, especially a guy who's 31 years old, is probably looking at maybe one long-term contract left, maybe a three-year deal, kind of take him to the rest of his career before he sort of kind of hops around or whatever it is. So this could be kind of that kind of defining year thing, kind of the same way you would define this kind of Thad Young's kind of defining year, where, like, depending on how he does, he could get a nice new contract that could take him to the rest of his career, or he could be kind of the start of his journeyman career where he jumps from team to team every year, you know, searching for the paycheck to paycheck. Because, you know, at the end of careers, it's kind of what happens to guys. You know, you don't get the big five-year deals. You get the 2 or 3 year deals. But if you're kind of show you're on the downside of a contract, you start getting kind of 1 year veteran minimums, maybe a little bit above kind of things to kind of become role players elsewhere. In terms of if I think Collison will be back into this season, you know, it depends how he does, depends on Corey Joseph, depends on Aaron Holiday, all these other factors. But if he puts up, I'll tell you what, if he puts up the same kind of number he put up last season in terms of percentage-wise, I don't think he's hit 12 points a game again. I think he can be below that. He will definitely be back on the team, at least at minimum, as their bench point guard, sixth man off the bench point guard, which I would be surprised if he wasn't willing to accept that role. Maybe he thinks he might, you know, I know he came to the Pacers thinking he could be a starter on a playoff team. That was kind of why he came here, I think, at the end of the day. So maybe he'll want to start somewhere else, but I could see him settling into a sixth-man role, especially as he hits in kind of his 32-year-old season, 33-year-old season, and so on. And, you know, he's the kind of player who doesn't have an attitude and is willing to kind of just do what's best for the team and help out. And, you know, if Pitch gave him, let's say, a three-year, $25 million deal, something like that, I could definitely see him coming back and being their long-term backup point guard. And then it's either Aaron Holiday or Joseph as a starting for the future. So in terms of his role this season, I would kind of hit on the minutes he'd play. Starting point guard, going to start. I don't think he gets supplanted by that. I think he's the starting point guard for most of the season. I think there is a slight possibility Tyreek could overtake him, but the way I really see it is the end of games. I don't really see it as a new starter. You know, I see Corey Joseph or Tyreek Evans becoming the closing point guard, but that's no knock on Collison because Collison will probably still play 20, 30 minutes. I thought last season, honestly, there were times where Collison off the bench actually was better. When he first came back from injury, he played off the bench with those guys, and he kind of helped the bench play a lot better than it was, because at times the bench last year was so erratic with Lance out there and with the lack of depth because of GR3 being hurt. But also the bench is just going to be better because they have better players off the bench. They're deeper. They've got, you know, Tyreek Evans, who you can't keep saying how much of an upgrade he is over Lance, but that player being there is going to make the bench just significantly better. So I don't know if they'll need Collison on the bench, because Collison was a huge factor in helping push Oladipo to where he went. I mean, I think Collison's ability to stretch the floor was huge. He basically, because he was a 40% three-point shooter, they had to respect him no matter his height. You know, he's a small guard there, but they had to respect him, and that led Oladipo to operate in space really well. I mean, I think he's the perfect complement to Oladipo, because also he can play off the ball. Oladipo, you know, I think, as somebody who watches the Pacers a lot, Oladipo is best chance to become sort of that next level top 10. So I know SI released their top 100 list, and Tony and I will talk about that on Monday. But Oladipo is number 20. I think for him to become kind of that top 10 player, he's got to sort of become a pseudo point guard, shooting guard, kind of the way James Harden is, where he can do both. but has the ball in his hands a lot because that's where he's most effective. I mean, Oladipo is the most effective player on the court when he has the ball in his hands. You know, I saw flash towards the end of last season where Oladipo was willing to pass the ball to those guys like Darren Collison. And Collison being out there is a huge part of that because it really gives them five decent to dominant shooters, barring Thad Young and the starters. You know, if Miles Turner keeps improving, if Thad gets to 35%, you basically got two guys at 40%. You got Turner, who could be in the high 30s, and then you got Oladipo, who is basically almost a high 33-point shooter, and Thad Young, which is kind of this huge, seamlessly stretched five lineup, which is kind of crazy. But like I said, I probably would give it maybe a 10 to 15% chance Tyreek overtakes Collison. You know, Collison hasn't really, the past three seasons, he played, I guess, 74, 68, and 69 games, so he probably missed some stretch of games. I'm interested to see who starts in his place, whether it's Corey Joseph or Tyreek Evans in that instance. So something to watch for, but I don't really see his role changing because I don't see some kind of decline coming out of Collison. He seems like, you know, he's not like he had, I mean, he had a really incredible three-point percentage year, but in terms of overall sets, it wasn't like anything he did was like because he athletically dominated people or stuff that, you know, you expect to drop off. He really was beating guys with his efficiency, his ability not to turn over the ball and make the right pass and all that kind of stuff. So I could see that, especially in the pick and roll. So with another player who Collison will definitely be a huge influence in helping him improve is Miles Turner. I mean, I think in the pick and pop or pick and roll with Sabonis or Turner, really both kind of fit in here, Collison was one of the best players at that. I would hope the Pacers run a little more pick and pop with Turner and with Collison because that was a really effective kind of way. Collison, because of his mid-range ability and his ability, I think he shot in the... So if you look at his mid-range shooting percent, Collison shot about 46% inside mid-range, so that made him kind of a pretty lethal threat out there. Anything above about 40% in the mid-range is okay. I mean, you want to be closer to 50, but 46 is definitely a respectable, you know, it means you have to guard a guy in the mid-range, which kind of allowed him on the pick and roll for Turner to pop out and get easy kind of open threes. I want to see them do that more, or really like to see him do the kind of thing where, you know, an actual pick and roll and have Turner cut to the hoop and have Collison maybe set up with a lob, something like that. Because when Collison was in LA and he played with Deandre Jordan, he did a little bit of that. I mean, you know, obviously nobody's better at the lob pass than Chris Paul when he was with the Clippers, but Derrick Collison did do a little bit of that, and he has that repertoire and skill set. I love to see him sort of set Turner up for dunks and easy layups around the rim, things like that. So we'll see if they kind of run that. And that could take away from his overall shot take, too. I think more likely next season, Collison could be more like a 7 to 8 shots per game. He took about 9 this year, and maybe more like 10 points, but maybe gets up to like 6 or 7 assists. I could see that. It obviously depends, I guess, of where they put Oladipo, but I could see that being more of Collison's season than the 12-5 season. I think, you know, his game or his efficiency comes from his ability to be a threat, not necessarily actually his ability to make shots. You know, it's the fact that he is a threat to make a big three-point shot that kind of makes him kind of the better player, not necessarily the fact that he has the ball in his hands all the time, making him a great player. In terms of strengths, obviously Collison on the offensive end, you know, he's done turn over the ball. He fits really well, basically any line the Pacers have. He seems to have the see of the court and kind of be a steadying force for the pace when he needs to. I think, you know, when the Pacers switched their pace up, I think he was part of that. He knows kind of the right times when to keep pushing it and when to not to. His speed, he's very fast, and that kind of putting him next to Oladipo, that's awesome. Two of them are like nuts when they get the pace going. But I think when the Pacers started to shift their pace and focus more on defense, Collison was a big factor in helping kind of keep the team, okay, we need to play more of a half-court game sometimes to kind of get us the rest on the defensive end or the offensive end to keep, be better on defense. I think he's a huge part of that. I think his locker room presence is incredible. He's definitely one of the veterans on this team. He's definitely one of the leaders on this team. I mean, this team's got a ton of great guys who seem to like want to be leaders and mentors to players, and I think Collison could be a huge mentor to Aaron Holiday, which is going to be important. It's just something to look to, especially if Collison thinks he's going to be here a few more years, maybe as a backup deal. You know, I know a lot of guys don't talk about the replacement and stuff like that, but Collison, you know, seems to be a team guy and kind of is wanting to fit somewhere, and I could definitely see him mentoring Aaron Holiday in a huge way, and that will be important. In terms of weaknesses, obviously Collison on the defensive end, just because of his height and size, really is just hard to play him in crunch time at times, just because he's not a great defender. He was better last season. I mean, I don't think he was great or anything, but he was, I guess you could say playable at times. And then I think a big weakness of his last year was really in the playoffs, he struggled. Him like Oladipo both struggled for 2 or 3 games, and that really killed the Pacers, especially in that game 4, the Pacers should have won. Collison, I think, had like 5 points, and that really set back the Pacers in a way that I think significantly damaged really the chance of winning that series. And if Collison, you know, you saw it in game 6 and game 7, Collison finally played well and the team played well. So, I mean, as much as, you know, I can harp on Oladipo for not playing well too. Collison is just an important factor because he was the piece that kept the offense running when Oladipo struggled. When he's struggling, it's uh-oh, basically. And then in terms of kind of where I see the best case and worst case scenario this year, so best case, actually, I could see him, you know, putting up 45% from three again and taking maybe four a game this time and being more of the off ball and end up getting to 12 or 13 points per game, maybe becoming even a more efficient player, maybe 50, 40, 90 club, maybe getting close to it. I mean, that would be really cool for him. You know, it's kind of that rarefied club of players of being the 50, 40, 90 club. I think that'd be kind of a nice way to kind of like cement his career. Like, okay, Collison's actually a pretty efficient player and kind of, you know, he's very underrated among NBA circles. People, when you talk about point guards, he's never listed even probably in the top 15. And I think he probably was a top 10 point guard last year in terms of offensively. That'd be a nice little way to get some recognition out there. But then worst case, like I said, you know, he's getting up into the age. He's 31 years old. Some injury could happen. He could have a setback, whatever it is. And then he ends up playing 40, 50 games. And he kind of has a diminished role. And kind of he's on the back end of his career. I would give it, let's say, 10% chance that happens. Probably 20% of the best case scenario happens. But obviously, I think he's going to fall somewhere in the middle, most likely, because that's kind of the way it goes. You don't usually, the best and worst case don't happen. You know, you don't wish injury on anybody, but usually that's what causes the worst case scenario, some kind of injury. Is, you know, that's kind of a big deal. But, you know, he did suffer an injury last year for a little bit, got it fixed up, seemed to be fine after the surgery he had. I know he hurt early in the year and managed to keep playing through it. So I do wonder if he is actually fully healthy with his knee, whether that would help him for the full year, because it seems like he played 30 or 40 games kind of with a hurt knee and was still pretty efficient, obviously. So we'll see how that goes. In terms of actual hard numbers for Darren Collison, I think, like I said before, I think he'll probably be a 10, 6, and I think I want to do turnovers because I think that was a huge part. Probably 10 points, 6 assists, and, you know, if he can stay, I say 1.5 turns, he probably can get back to the 4 number, if not a little better. I mean, if he could do less than 1 turn, which is going to be hard, but about like 1.2 turns, get to a 5, like a 5 assist turnover ratio, that would be huge. That would be incredible for the Pacers, to be honest. But I think he probably hovers around the same as the turnover ratio, just because I don't see anything in his game that says, oh yeah, he's going to turn over the ball more. I mean, as getting older, you just become more efficient. You see certain sets, and you know where the passes are. And especially as you play with the team longer, I mean, remember, that's his first year with the team. So now he gets a full offseason with the guys, a full training camp with all the guys. You know, the chemistry is going to be better than it was last year. I mean, as hard as that is, as weird as that is to say, it's going to be better because they had a whole new year under them. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens there. You know, I don't think Collison is going to be somebody who's going to get like a brunt of, you know, teams defensively, just because Oladipo is such a menacing force out there. He will take most of the defensive effort from the top guards or small forwards. So that leaves Collison open to kind of do his thing. You know, against teams of two good defending guards, he might struggle a little bit. You know, I think he never really played against John Wall last year, so that was never an issue. Not that John Wall are great defending guards, but you have to play hard defense on them too, so that's kind of an issue. But there aren't a ton of teams that I think have two great defending guards out there. You know, most teams have one, or they have, I guess, a good guard, a good small forward defender. That could be it. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. I think, you know, George Hill did frustrate him in the playoffs last year a little bit, I thought. And that was kind of a factor of why Collison struggled. But we'll see what happens. I think, honestly, though, Collison is in for probably a pretty solid year, probably similar to last year. I think definitely you can basically bet on him being above 40% from three. You know, if that was a Vegas line, you could bet Will Collison shoot 40% from three. I would bet it. I put a lot of money on that one because I think he'll do it again. Because he's just done it for 3 straight years. That's him now. He's an efficient 3-point shooter. That's what he is. So I like Darren Collison to have a pretty decent year. I think he'll be important to the Pacers. But again, I don't think he's going to finish out games with the team, because I think Tyreek and Corey Joseph provide more flexibility in terms of defensively and close and good enough offense to close games next to Oladipo. That's it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Locked On Pacers. If you missed it on Wednesday, Tony did a preview of Corey Joseph. And then I think next week we're going to do small forwards. So that's going to be the Bogdan Bogdanović and Doug McDermott. And we'll obviously have our weekly show post on Monday. Last week posted on Wednesday because we had some scheduling issues. But there'll be 3 podcasts a week till the season starts, probably 2 player previews and 1 weekly show. Tony and I will discuss the Oladipo ranking at number 20. That's going to be contentious debate as I complain that Kyrie was ranked above Oladipo for some stupid reason. I think Oladipo is better than Kyrie, but you can hear my take on that on Monday. That's it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. As always, have a great rest of your day.